I don't know what I'm preaching tomorrow night, because when I get done with this one, I don't really have anything else in Acts chapter number 14 to preach. But I felt like I was supposed to deal with these verses in the last few nights. I'm glad that the Lord let me start out with the life of Joseph a little bit and say some things that were said about him. I hope that you maybe have learned some things these days about why you're here. Basically, that's what God's had on my heart at my church for some time now. What is our purpose? Why are we on this earth? Are we fulfilling God's purpose in our lives? And I've had some of my people say some things in recent days, and I've considered some things in a different light after I heard them say some things. I've heard them say a lot. I've heard some of y'all say it too, you know. Well, I'm not saved, and I really can't help nobody until I get saved. Well, I just hope you know that that's not true. Because if you tell somebody what lostness is about, they may need to find out that they are. And, you know, I know the fact that you can only lead somebody as far as you've been led yourself. So you could at least lead some of them that don't know any more than you do to where they really are. There is a purpose for you going through what you're going through. You say, well, I don't understand that purpose. Well, you're not here to understand. You're here to go through it and let God finish it. And I'm just going to say to you in way of encouragement, you are somewhere tonight. You have been brought to some place tonight. You are not just out in never, never land. You may feel sometimes like you are, but you're not. You may, as I said last night, have a lot of knowledge and maybe think that maybe some of my knowledge has fogged up what I need, but if you just know this, friend, if you just know this, that God has brought you to where you are, at the point that you're at right now, then that ought to give you some hope that God's not done pulling you on in and drawing you. And if you lose hope in that, I'm just praying that you don't give up and quit, because I'm going to be on some of that tonight, and I know you've probably heard this word used here quite a bit. And it's the word to continue. And so I want to get down to that verse, somehow get to it. God saved Paul with purpose in mind. I'm going to say this. Before Paul was saved, God told him what he was going to have him do. Told him he was going to suffer many things for his name's sake. Told him before he ever got saved. So you can know God's purpose. And if you get saved, God has a purpose for saving you.
That's right.
Bringing you to where you are, God's had a purpose in that too. So don't you think for a second God is not speaking about you being used where you are. Right where you are.
Right.
You could tell somebody else, I know you're lost. And they'd say, how do you know I'm lost? Because you got the same thing I got. Well, what have you got? Well, let me tell you what I got. And hopefully God would open somebody's eyes. I believe it was John Bunyan who suffered conviction for, I think, 15 years, I think it was, somewhere in that arena. And while he was suffering through conviction from hearing an old preacher preach, who I believe had died, if I'm not mistaken, that preacher died, and there wasn't nobody else around preaching truth. And during that time, he filled a pulpit as a lost man, knowing he was lost. Knowing that the Bible said this is what lostness is, and this is what God's got to do for us if we're going to get saved. And he said he felt like he should do that because there wasn't nobody else helping nobody where they were. So don't go out of here saying, oh, I'm just hopeless and I can't do nothing and I'm worthless and I can't do nothing. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I'm not advocating that you become a lost preacher. But I'm advocating that you may be able to be used as a lost person.
Yes, yes.
Come on now, look, just look this way. I mean, I'm telling you. So, I know that sounds strange. That may sound strange to you. But, and it may sound strange to those that listen to the CD. Let me explain to you. If you know where you are, you know where you are, and you can tell somebody about where you are.
That's right.
What's so hard about that? Amen. Okay, I'll stop there and get in my message now. All right? Amen. Stand with me as I read, beginning in verse number 19 of Acts 14. Acts 14:19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Now, I want to preach tonight furthermore, I said something about a title of this message two nights ago or last night. I don't remember which. It doesn't matter. I said I want to preach part number two now, and that is a preacher who wouldn't quit. And I feel like what's before us is an exhortation to me and a help to me. And it ought to be a help to you that God has put somebody in your life that just won't quit.
Amen. Amen.
Just won't quit. And I want to preach on that thought tonight here in these verses 19 through 28 of Acts 14. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help me tonight. You know I need you. I know I need you. Lord, these people need to hear from you. They don't need just words to be said. So I pray, God, you would illuminate my mind and give me holy unction. I pray that, God, you'd empower the service and help them to see what, Lord, they are in need to see tonight out of this text and what I need to preach out of this text. That I would help them as I felt like, Lord, the Holy Ghost helped them on last night. I wouldn't want them to forget what they heard on last night. Lord, Brother Harry came in here this morning and almost basically quoted the whole verse to me and said, told Brother Prince, oh, Brother Rutherford preached a message last night and began to quote the verse without his Bible being opened. And, Lord, it blessed my heart that it had left such an indelible mark in his mind. So, Lord, I pray, God, you do it again. I ask you, Lord, to do it. Lord, we so quickly get away from what we hear and forget what we hear. So help us, God, to hide these words in our hearts, and that, Lord, you would use them in days ahead or even tonight in the middle of the night after they go home. God, somehow in their heart they would turn from these vanities unto the living God. And Lord, if you have the power to do the things you had the power to do in the past, and you're still the same, then I believe you have the power to do them again. Father, I ask you to forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. Lord, I'm going to say my own sins and my own shortcomings. And help me, Lord, to be drawn up closer to thee every hour, every minute of the day. Lord, there's so many things that fancy our mind in this world and take us away from where we need to be. So, Lord, I pray that every outside influence would be driven out tonight. Lord, give us of thy good spirit finger round in every soul tonight. And Lord, bring conviction. Oh, God, if you don't convict, they'll not get converted.
Right.
So cause guilt in the hearts of those that are sinners and those, God, of us that are saved, that you would cause us to be revived, not to be at ease in Zion. We'll thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. All of us, everyone that's here, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to be there right away. I'm going to introduce to you his return to Antioch. But my first point will be Paul's return to Antioch. And then Paul rehearses God's work in Antioch. And then Paul remains and resides and rests in Antioch. And, you know, sometimes I'm afraid we get the idea that because the preacher's enjoying a little bit of time around the church that he loves and he's able to stay there and work for a while, that he's resting and he ought to be working. Well, I got news for you, friend. When a man of God's resting, he is working. Because he's resting in his labor that God has given him that he might be able to continue on doing it. That's the only reason a man of God rests. I'm telling you that right now. And I need to rest every so often. I can't make it unless I get a little bit. But Paul is very, very mistreated here before us in these verses. And it says there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. Now, Paul ends up going back to Antioch, where these Pharisees had come from, these Jews that had persuaded the people. And I want you to know that in my studies of Paul's life, this is his first missionary journey that he took, sent from the church to go and do what he was doing. So he had a purpose because the church sent him to do something. And I don't know of any other way to have it done. Christ died for the church. And when I was in evangelism, I had a sending church. I had a church that I was a member of. And I had a church that I sent my tithes to. And I had a church that I supported the missions program in. And I gave to that church. I had a local church. Now you say, well, you weren't there. Well, Paul wasn't there either, but he had a place that he worked from. And you can find that. You can find where that started at in Acts chapter number 13. That there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and they ministered to the Lord. And then in verse 2 of Acts 13, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And they were church sent preachers. They had a church that they had back of them, behind them, so to speak, if you want to use that terminology. They were sent. A man that goes must be sent. And my church sent me here. They did. They sent me here. And I said, I feel like I need to go. And they said, well, go, preacher. We'll miss you, but we'll look forward to you coming back. And Paul, his second missionary journey, got in some pretty distressful conditions and even despaired for his own life, according to some of his writings to the Corinthian church. And even though he knew that God said he was going to go to Rome and testify his name there, some things happened in his life that made him wonder if he was going to make it.
Right. Right.
And I'm telling you, there's been some things that's happened in my life makes me wonder if I'm going to make it to the end of my course.
Sure,
but God's raised me back up,
yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. But these Jews came from Antioch, and they came to where he was in Iconium at that time preaching. And when they got there, they stirred up these people in Lycaonia. They stirred them up and turned them against the preacher who had just preached the gospel message to them about how to be saved.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's just, it's a it's a scary thing in some ways that people could be persuaded so quickly and so easily against the man of God.
Yep.
It just seems like that. And it's a scary thought to a man of God sometimes, because it makes you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I preach the truth to somebody, and their lights come on, and they hear and they see, and then just the next day or two, these Jews come in and persuade the people against Paul and Barnabas. There's a lot of strange things about this text I've considered. One of them is Paul and Barnabas were together, and Barnabas didn't get stoned, but Paul did. Some of my people said, why didn't Barnabas get stoned? I said, well, Mercurius, according to them, who was Paul, was the main speaker. And so they thought if they could just do away with the main honcho, so to speak, get rid of the main spokesman, then it would take care of nobody else ever talking to them again about what they needed. And why did they persuade the people? My question is, why so easily? I'm going to tell you what this must mean. That he preached the truth, but they didn't get saved.
That's right.
It also helps me to understand then that my job's not to save you, but to preach to you the truth.
Amen.
And I preached the truth to you on last night, and I wouldn't back up. I ain't got no backup lights. I got no apologies for what I said on last night. And I would stand on it just like Paul did when he stood there and spoke to them and preached to them those truths. And what it means is to me is that my job is to preach the truth and to hear the line and let the chips fall. I hope that you heard last night in such a way that you could not be persuaded any other direction. But these folk got persuaded in the wrong way, didn't they? Quickly. And it says that they stoned Paul. They persuaded people, and having stoned Paul. Now, it sounds to me like all of them was involved.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is all the Jews and those in Lycaonia who had gotten persuaded by those Jews, they all in agreement stoned Paul. And then after they stoned him, it says they drug him out of the street, from under the stones. They drug him out. They drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Yeah.
Did they stand around and weep over him, those people that did it? Did they care? That tells you the attitude of a lost man's heart about a man who would give his life to tell him the truth.
Yeah.
How wicked and terrible. Now, it says then after they did that, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city. Now, see, they supposed he was dead. Now, listen. I'm going to read between the lines in this way.
Good.
I'm going to read between the lines because I don't see it where it says that he ever said another word to him in that city after. Been stoned, left for dead. They thought I was dead. And the disciples standing around me, some that loved me standing around me. And one of the craziest things in the world is to go right back into the den where all of them done stoned you. Somehow or another, I see Paul and all the disciples. Don't say he said nothing. Don't say they said nothing. Don't just say there's
right.
Any word.
That's
spoken. Huh? I'll try to stay up here. That's going to be rough.
That'd be rough, wouldn't it?
But I'll try so that the CD works. I'll just do. I ain't worried about it. Don't worry about it. I'll try not to get too plugged in tonight. Might not get near shook up that way. I don't know. So now I can't walk in the city because I was going to walk all around in here. I was going to just kind of walk around and just look at you. That's what it looks like he did. Now, I'm gonna say to you, you better be glad that I didn't just come back around you and walk around you and say nothing. Think about this. When this crowd, this religious crowd, says we ought to tell everybody everywhere, we have to talk all the time to them about the soul, and we can't, and you know, we're going to have blood on our hands if we don't. Does that mean that Paul was wrong? He went back into the city. I don't believe he said a word. Don't say he ever preached another message to him. Just walked in the city. And I'm wondering if it wasn't just to let them know that they had no power over God. He just got done preaching to them that they were. So, do you think you know? Turns it off on the side.
Yeah, I bet he did it.
Well, he might have. Did he? Is it?
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Heck, boy, I'm going to have to get him now. I'm going to tell him, you about messed me up last night preaching. Now I got to get all caught up. I got to get. All right, now I can walk around the city.
Okay, now.
I got no. I thought a few times about doing a sight lesson, and getting some of that fake blood, getting an old shirt that I wouldn't care if it got messed up, an old tie, and just dump it all over my head, walk around. I don't know if that would help you or not. I don't know. Some of the kids might not ever forget it. Dr. Ray preached with a red light and a flashlight, shined it all over with all the lights off, and preached on the red lights of hell. And some folk never got away from that. So I'm just going to let you picture it in your own mind. What would it look like? Hair all messed up, matted down, blood running down the side of his head. Some of it already coagulating and starting to cause scabs and whatnot. Blood doesn't say he was even cleaned off. Doesn't say they wiped him down. Doesn't say they said, here, come here, Paul. You don't look good. He just got up and walked in. Now, that scares somebody. If they thought they'd done killed him and then he comes a-walking around, that might make them want to hear what he's got to say next time. Now, I'm wondering, when I went in and seen that doctor that day and I can still see his face, when I said, I'm taking my boots on, my socks off, and he said, I'm sorry, I got to take them boots off. I said, ain't nothing to it. I just pulled them off, pulled my socks off. They propped my feet up, and he looked at my legs, and he looked at my feet. She was in there. He looked at my legs and my feet like, that ain't your foot. Last time I saw your foot, it didn't look like that. Touches it, feels it. He picked my leg up, put his hand up underneath my calf, and put his hand up on top, just kind of tenderly touched my leg and picked it up a little bit. He kept looking. He looked at my leg, and then he felt my foot. Felt pulse in my foot. He was saying something with his face like, got no answer for this one. We were putting you on a list for a heart transplant last time you was in here. You know, I mean, can you imagine here? He's, I don't know if he thought, well, maybe this preacher ain't going to live. We don't need no more preachers in this world anyway. I don't know what he thought about me. He never did say. I know what he thought about God curing people, because some of them came in there laughing about that. You know, don't take that. You're just wasting your money. You're just wasting your money going down there and buying all that stuff. You take this pill. Anyway, when you walk around alive and you're supposed to be dead, that might make somebody say, maybe this is Mercurius. One thing for sure, it's curious. This is just strange. This is strange. I'm preaching something now. I'm going somewhere. Who could better tell people to continue than somebody like Paul?
That's right.
Well, what I'm going to say is, your message carries more weight to it when you live it. Y'all hear me, ain't you? Your message carries more with it when you live it. For Paul to say what he said in the verse that I'm going to, and that's verse 21 that I'll be preaching from primarily, I'm telling you, listen to me. There, you have had some men around you from the past that you've heard about. You can listen to them preach. Brother Shipman and Dr. Percy Ray and Brother Matt Codge was a real help in my life as a young man before I got saved and even after I got saved. For a short time, he died when he's 63 years old, mowing the yard at his house in North Carolina or South Carolina, where he's from. He's from the Carolinas. Died mowing the yard. But those old men, when you listen to them preach, they lived a life that served God. They kept on serving God. I remember hearing Dr. Ray preach one time, and I said, Lord. And I said it this way, I did. If you ever save me and let me preach, I want to preach like that. I want to stir up sinners. I want to stir up saints. I know in my heart I felt like that old man, that God meant what he said. And he believed what he said. And he stirred my heart. I've read after Spurgeon and said, oh God, let me be one who uses words that reach saint and sinner alike. And cause them, when I read some of his messages, it causes me to want to do right, to want to live right, and to want to be right, to want to keep on keeping on for God.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, here's a man who should not have even lived through what he lived through.
Right.
And God led him, and it looks like to me, he gave it even more. Like he even put more of himself that God put in him into his ministry. That he gave it all. That he kept on going. And he didn't stop.
Right.
Yeah. I remember seeing that comic strip. I've said about it here. I say it in my church too. And they still say it. Yeah, I got hit by a frisbee one time. That cartoon. Three or four people standing around with white robes on and halos on their head and stuff. So you thought, you know, from the picture, they was in heaven. And they was talking about, you know, how they got there. And one said, I was burned at the stake. And one said, I was fed to the lions. And another one said, I was stuck through with a sword. And it said, 20th century Christian over top of this other feller. And he's at the end and he says, well, I was hit one time with a frisbee. That's about, it's going to be hard serving God if somebody hits me with a frisbee.
Yeah.
And here's a man left for dead, and they thought he was, and he got up, shook himself, went right back into that city as if to say, you might think you're stopping me, but you ain't. I'm going on. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm still alive. And you're going to have to reckon with it.
Amen. We like it.
Amen. That's what I get out of this, Joe. Can you see it there? I can see it. And on his way back to Antioch, he kept on preaching. Well, now, some folk would stop doing something that hurt them that bad. There's a possibility I'm going to say this to somebody else and I'm going to get stoned again. And the Bible talks about him being whipped on three different occasions. 40 stripes save one on three different occasions. Beat. Shipwrecked. He said destitute of food.
Yes, sir.
And clothing.
Yes, sir.
Hated. He said it was the off-scouring of all things.
Right.
You know what the off-scouring is? That's what you get out of the cast iron skillet after you cook bacon and eggs and stuff in it, or fried taters, and you scrape that stuff that's in the bottom with the spatula. You scrape it all out. That's what that is that he called himself, the off-scouring.
That's what he called. That's what he said he was. You know, I mean, we think it's terrible that somebody says some little thing about us. And Paul it wasn't just little stuff. He said in perils in the deep, and perils in among false brethren. I can understand that one. And he said, and it was perils. That means dangerous things he faced.
Right.
And this was his first missionary journey. And then he took a second one. And a third one.
That's right. Yeah.
Think about it. I'm telling you, this is a preacher who won't quit.
Amen.
See, he knows his call.
Right.
Let me ask, why are you here? Are you touching anybody's life by continuing in the things of the Word of God?
Amen.
I'm asking you. We started this way, and I kind of feel like this is a vein that has run through my veins this week. Try to help you understand. You're getting help tonight. My wife said something at the church Tuesday night a week ago before we left to come here. I preached out of chapter 15, and I dealt with some things about the Gentiles and how Paul went to all them and helped Gentile people. And my wife said, "Can I say something?" I said, "Sure." She said, "I just want to thank God that God came after a bunch of us old Gentiles.
That's right. Right.
Didn't leave us to ourselves."
Right.
If Paul hadn't gone to them Gentile lands, there's a possibility. Listen, most of our forefathers that came over, they didn't come from Israel. They didn't come over here from Israel. They came over here from England and Scotland and Ireland.
Right.
They got their message from churches out of Asia Minor where Paul had established the things of God, and missionaries were sent out over into the European nations, and then ships came across the sea, and we're here tonight primarily because of a preacher who wouldn't quit. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
No matter how hard it got, I'm telling you, a man of my church said, I think we ought to get a DVD of you preaching and send it to your doctors to see what they'd say about it. This is that guy? This is that same guy? Lord told my wife sometime back, wouldn't it be better for him to die in a pulpit, or would it be better for him to die mowing the yard or something? Would it be better for him to die giving everything he's got in a pulpit to somebody while he was preaching?
Right.
Now, I don't think I got to worry about that right now. I don't believe it's my time. If it is, then I'll go unexpected, but I'll be expected somewhere. I'm telling you, to be ushered in while you're preaching about the unsearchable riches of Christ, to go to glory preaching about glory, preaching in glory. But I'll tell you, I don't know if there'd be a better way to go. I was a preacher not long ago. I don't remember. Somebody said, "Your wife said, he ain't even with us right now. He's somewhere else." I didn't hear that because I wasn't there. I was preaching somewhere else. I was a space cadet. I didn't even have a Martian's helmet on. Huh?
Yeah.
Y'all hear what I'm saying? What kept Paul going? What kept Paul going? God saved him. God called him. A church sent him.
Yeah.
He had something to do.
Yeah.
He had a reason to live.
Yeah. Amen. That's it, preacher.
Everybody in this building right now has a reason to live. You should never put a gun to your forehead and shoot yourself.
That's right.
You should never put yourself with a noose around your neck and jump off a tree. You should never, ever commit suicide. You got too much to live for.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Too much to answer for.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Listen, there's many testimonies of men. If it hadn't been for them doing what God called them, I wouldn't be saved if Dr. Percy Ray probably hadn't come by our church. God had a reason for him
Amen.
To come to my church where I was a boy.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
Yeah,
oh, with he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He didn't say, I bear my soul or my spirit or in my heart the marks of the Lord. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He'd be like a man. You ever see those guys that fight UFC? You ever see cauliflower ears? Because somebody gets a hold of them all the time. They get them down on the ground and they rub their ear and they blood come and then they fight and fight and fight. They get their head beat and their ears turn to what they call cauliflower ears. So what brought that up? They have a reason to live. And they look like they bear in their body some kind of marks.
Yeah.
It's from fighting in UFC. But you know where Paul got his marks from? Preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Right. Huh? Right. What kind of marks you toting around? You ever had anybody grab you by the throat in the church parking lot because of what you preach and sling you around? You ever heard anybody wait outside of your house with a shotgun waiting for you to come out of the house so they could shoot you in the middle of the night? Listen, I got reason to keep preaching.
Sure.
Sister Montgomery sat in the back of my car one day when I was pastoring in Alabama. She said, oh, preacher, I'm so worried. I said, what are you worried about, Sister Montgomery? She said, this church is a preacher killer. She said, every preacher that's been in this church since I've been here and coming here, the other two preachers that were here just for you, they got out of the ministry. They got so discouraged. They got so hurt. They said, what's the use? I ain't going to preach if this is going to keep happening to me. And they quit the church and they quit God. They quit on God and everything else. And I was driving down the road. Now, I was a young preacher. I was pretty bold when I said it. I didn't know what all I was going to go through. I didn't know what all I was going to face saying this. I said, Sister Montgomery, there's only one thing maybe that's different between me and them. You remember me saying it to her? I said, I know who saved me, and I know who called me, and it wasn't Greenbrier Baptist Church.
That's right.
So no matter what they do to me or how they treat me or how they act, God called me. I'm going with God. I didn't know I was going to face some things I faced. And I didn't know I was going to have some of the problems in life I would have.
Right.
But I don't regret a mile. I travel for the Lord. I wish everybody loved me, and I wish that the Sanhedrin wasn't still in force, but they are. They're somewhere.
Yeah, amen.
There's a bunch of them that can judge what I preach and say, you know, he preaches a works gospel. And I say, no, I preach a gospel that works.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not stopping by the grace of God, I mean. I'm not up here to brag. God has kept me in it, or I wouldn't be in it. It's the grace of God. That's why I am what I am. It's the only reason. It's the only reason you'll ever be. But I want to ask you, why are you doing what you're doing?
Right.
Is there something? Is there something? Is there a reason? I'm going to say this. If there ain't a reason, you will quit.
Right.
Somewhere down the road, you'll quit.
Right. Right.
If there ain't a reason to continue on, you will quit. I promise you'll quit.
Amen.
What are you saying there, preacher? You better start finding some reasons.
Right.
So I already know some. Good, then you ain't got to find none. So you ain't got no excuse then to quit, do you? Hello?
Right.
Well, I'm going on. I'm going to go on in this too.
Amen.
So he rose up, went to the city. And the next day, are y'all in verse number 20 with me? I'm gonna rehearse something that I brought out just the other night. I don't remember what night it was. I think it was Monday evening when Brother Billy Prince was here, where it says in the next day, in the last part of verse 20, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, go with me to Acts 16. Let me show you something here. Acts 16, verse 1. This was his second missionary journey. And then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, he believed. He believed. wonder when did he believe? I questioned this. I wondered, you know, when did Timothy believe? Now, I know it says he had the same faith as his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice. Did they have that faith before Paul came? I don't think they could have, because nobody had ever preached the gospel there yet that I know of. I don't think the gospel had ever spread that far yet. Paul's one of the first ones to go that far. Now, there was Jews that went up there, but they sure weren't preaching the gospel. You see what they did? They stirred the people up against the gospel. So I'm going to just say this. In my recollection, if I'm wrong, I can be corrected. I'll stand to be corrected. But it looks like possibly, it looks like this pretty positively, that when Paul was in Derby, Timothy heard the gospel while Paul was there the first time and got saved. When he came back, Timotheus was there. Go on to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And kind of looks like Paul had a hand through his preaching in the life of Timothy, doesn't it? Has there been any preacher that's influenced you that would make you want to go with God and follow Christ and be something used for God? Yeah, I was just asking you. Just think about it. Got any reason? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. You got any preacher that has been a blessing and helped you? He said, now look here, verse 10 of 2 Timothy 3. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Look at this. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, right, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Now he said, Timothy, you fully know what happened to me. You know my life. I have been in your life, and you've seen the way that I was treated as a preacher.
Right.
He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now listen, Timothy then knew about what happened to Paul at Lystra and Iconium. He knew about the stoning. He knew about Paul being left for dead. He knew about it.
Right.
You're going to go with Paul. You're going to go with a man and be marked.
Sure.
And who knows if you're with him what's going to happen to you. Was it worth going? God used Timothy greatly.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul said, you know all about my life, Timothy. I've been an example to you. You've seen me. You know what I've done. You know how I've lived. You know my doctrine. You know my suffering. You know my persecutions, which happened at Lystra and Iconium. You know what he's doing? He's reminding him. But he said, the Lord delivered me out of them all.
Yeah.
What a testimony. What a testimony, huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Now, you said, but I'm not a preacher. You mean to tell me you can't have a purpose?
Sure.
I remember Dr. Ray talking about that woman in a revival meeting. And she didn't have much, very poor, lived in a shack. The house was built with stilts on the side of a big hill. I don't remember what state it was, I think in the Carolinas. And during the meeting, she'd gotten saved and went to Dr. Ray and said, you know, I'm really a kind of an unimportant person, and you're preaching about all of us having a job to do, and I don't know what my job would be. If I'm not mistaken, she had three boys. Have you heard the story? I heard him tell it. He preached it at my daddy's church. And she had three boys. I believe it was three boys. And he said, he called her name. I don't remember what it was. And he said, you can raise those three boys to serve the Lord. She said, I could, couldn't I? You could raise those three boys to be used of God someday.
Amen.
Some years later, I don't know how many, enough years later to where the boys had grown up. The preacher said, do you remember Sister So-and-so when you was here and you preached and she got saved and you told her that about her son? Yeah, I remember. Well, she's not able to come to church no more. She's so crippled up. But I come by and see her and I talk to her and we pray and she's a great Christian woman. I want you to go back to her house and I want you to say hello to her. So they pulled up in the driveway and said she'd come out. She had a chair. It was her walker. She had an old wooden chair. And she saw a car come in and she went out there and she come out the door of that old wooden chair, come out on the porch. And she saw Dr. Ray get out of the car. And she hollered, Dr. Ray, Dr. Ray. And he came up there and she said, I did it, Doc. I did it, Dr. Ray. I did it. He said, you did what? Remember you told me to raise those three boys for the glory of God and to be used to God? He said, yeah, I remember. She said, all three of them are preaching the gospel. They're all preachers and they're all serving God preaching. Amen. Say, hey, what could your purpose be?
Right.
One time, never had happened in our church before. Never happened. People were surrendering to things. And my wife was 12 years old, and she went forward, and Dad put the microphone in her mouth, in her face, and said, what do you come up here for, Carol? She said, well, I feel like I'm supposed to surrender to marry a preacher and be a preacher's wife. Dad said, well, what? What? Are you sure? Well, looky. Amen. Say, what are you saying? Have you ever had a purpose in life to serve God? Huh? Well, let me exhort you like Paul did. Say, Paul's on his way. He's on his way to Antioch. And on his way to Antioch, he comes to a city. Let's see, to that city, when he had been preached to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. And when he got there, it says, here's what he did in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith. Now, here's what I see. I see a man on a ship. It says, after they preached there and ordained them elders in every church in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. After that, they passed throughout Pisidia. They came to Pamphylia, verse 24. And when they had preached the word to Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch. So here's what I see. Days in his life. I see some days in Paul's life. I see him weathered. He's a weathered man.
Yeah.
I see him worn out. And in the flesh, I seem weary. But you know what I see when I see him on that ship? I see a man who's a warrior. Yeah. He ain't going to Antioch to quit.
No.
He ain't sailing there to quit. He's sailing there to serve God.
Right.
I see a man who's been through some things in his first missionary journey that gave him something that said, God will let me do his work regardless of what I face. That's what I see.
Right.
I see his persecutions and all the trials he went through did not weaken him in his spirit.
Right.
Weakened him in the flesh? Yeah, absolutely it did. Weathered, but a warrior still. This is what I see. This is what I see. And I see this man on his way to Antioch stopping somewhere to exhort somebody to do right.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this tonight. I'm going to tell you this. I feel like that's what God's telling me to tell you. Keep doing right.
That's right. Amen.
Don't quit doing right. Don't stop. Don't give up. It's not over yet.
Yeah.
Don't throw in the towel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, you think there's somebody here that might be thinking about it? Yes, I do, or I wouldn't be preaching it. I think there's somebody who's wearied and weathered and worn.
Yep.
Tired.
Yeah.
troubled, in turmoil, in tribulation in their own life, in their own thinking.
Right.
What's the use to go on? Nothing's happening.
Come on.
You see, I'm here to tell you, there ain't no way to be. There ain't no way to be. Bible says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. He said, lift them up. He said, you've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. He said, have you been beat up for preaching against sin or standing with that which is right? Have you been wounded yet? You've not, listen, don't let them hands hang down and them knees. Don't let that feebleness, it's so hard, it's so difficulty, so much difficulty. You remind me of that in that cartoon of Pilgrim's Progress. His name's Pliny. You remember that? If you study the word, it's somebody who's real skinny and puny and real. And in the cartoon, they got him. Hey, Bob, drop down. He's talking to Christian. He's gone, oh, it's so hard to serve God. It's so difficult. It's so, woe is me. You remember that cartoon, honey? He was a real ugly looking dude. I don't know how they painted him in that cartoon the way they did. He's just Pliny. Listen. You don't need that kind of influence around you. You're welcome.
Amen.
Someone like Paul. Someone like Timothy.
Yeah.
Someone like Dr. Ray.
Yeah.
Someone like the old man of God. I remember I told the story today about David Livingston when he was just a boy. And the preacher said, give in the offering give what you can. I've told it here before, I think, but you might have forgot.
Yeah.
When the offering plate came up, David Livingston, just a little boy, maybe like Josiah's size, just a little. I think he was like 5 or 6. How old are you? 7, 8? Probably about 7 or 8 then. he said to the usher, put the plate down further. Put it down. So he put it down. He said, no, put it on the floor. Put it on the floor. And he looked at him and he went, well, okay, well, I'll put it on the floor. And little David Livingston stood up and stepped in the offering plate.
Yep.
One of the greatest missionaries to the people in Africa that ever lived. Died when they came in, got him out of his tent. He'd been praying before he went to bed. He died beside of the cot praying for them people in Africa. He said, when I die, you can send my body back to the States, but take my heart out of my body and bury it in Africa. I'd say that's a fellow who had a purpose, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hey, those kind of Bible people are the kind of people that'll help you go on when you think you got it bad and you got it hard. Why don't you read about Adoniram Judson that God called to Burma to the Burmese people, and he got over there with his wife and his children, and they all died of some horrible disease, and he went out to the graves and wept and cried and kept preaching to the Burmese people and only had one convert the whole time he was there, but translated the Bible. Got married again, brought his family back over, and they all died. The second wife and all of his children died over in Burma again. But they said after he died and the Bible had been completed under his ministry, he had one convert. That convert taught him the Burmese language so he could translate the Bible from English into Burmese. And thousands of Burmese people got saved after he died. I read that story as a young preacher. And I thought, well, we got it made in America. He wouldn't quit, would he? Huh? He didn't quit, did he? If I'm going to do anything for you tonight, it's this.
Yeah.
I'm going to exhort you.
Yeah.
I'm going to exhort you.
That's right.
I'm going to try to help you to see.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to tell you. I'm going to try to get you. There's a reason to go on. There's a purpose to go on. You don't give up and quit before it's too late. Don't do it. Don't quit before right before God would do something for you. Look at it with me in verse 22. I'll be done.
Amen.
Say, you'll be done? Well, yeah, but I got to preach verse 22, so don't think that means you're going to get out in 5 minutes. I shouldn't have looked at my watch. Good grief, it ain't even 8:45 yet. I got to keep you past 9 somehow. No, I don't. You know what? You know what I'm saying. I want to encourage you.
Yes, sir.
Confirming the souls of the disciples.
Yep.
Confirming. Listen, now this is on his journey back to Antioch. He's returning back, and as he returns, he's preaching. He still ain't quit.
That's right.
Confirming means to support further, to cause a reestablishment, to cause strength, and to strengthen those that he preaches to. Confirming the souls of the disciples. You say, well, is he talking about saved folk? He's talking about disciples. He's talking about people that are following truth. That's what he's talking about. And he's confirming the souls.
Yeah.
Do I have to tell you again what the word soul means? The emotion, the intellect, the will. What's he doing? He's strengthening their emotions. You don't think you're an emotional creature? Well, then you don't have a soul. You know the difference between an animal and a human? An animal has a spirit, but he ain't got a soul. Well, they'll have all these advertisements about save the dogs and save the cats. And show pictures of poor little puppy dogs. And so I don't think they ought to be mistreated either, but my soul. Why don't they go down to the abortion clinic and show all the babies being aborted? Well, anyways, you know, animal ain't got a soul. But you do. Confirming the souls. The will of the intellect, the emotions of these folks that he's preaching to. You know, you need your emotions help, don't you? Don't you? You get down, and when you get down, listen, the joy of the Lord's your strength. When you get down, what happens to you? You get the mully grubs. You get a chainsaw disposition. Can't get along with nobody. Nobody can get along with you.
Right.
You're miserable.
Sure.
You're not happy. Huh?
Yeah.
What are you here for? I'm going to ask you, what are you here for? I'm here to tell you, your emotions need to be confirmed. Strengthened, reestablished. Y'all hear me, ain't you?
Right.
Some things that are already established need to be reestablished.
Yeah,
which means you ain't heard it enough yet. Even if you heard the same thing again, you ain't heard it enough yet.
Right.
As long as I'm around, you're getting it. How many times in the Bible talks about the souls of men and the hearts of men? Most of the translation of the King James Bible for heart is psuche, soul. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the soul. You mean with his emotions? You mean with his will?
Yep.
You mean with his intellect?
Yep.
With the heart? Trace the word heart and soul down in the New Testament. If you got an Englishman's concordance of any kind, most of the time, almost all of the time that the word heart is spoken in the Bible, in Romans 10 especially, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the soul, it's the word psuche. It's where the emotions and the will is at. See, hear me. If it doesn't change you emotionally, it ain't salvation.
Right.
After I got saved, I wasn't the same person emotionally. I wasn't. Listen, I could be touched before I got saved about the cross and Jesus dying on the cross, and it always touched my heart when I thought about the way man treated Jesus. When I was a little boy, I heard that song at Christmas about Jesus coming in a little manger and being born into this world to come for men. And my heart would somehow, I can't explain, I'd start crying. I'd go into the bedroom, put the pillow over my head because I was embarrassed. I didn't want nobody to see me crying about Jesus. I remember when the Gideons came to my school, my elementary school. You know, it used to be the Gideons come in. Now it's the Muslims are coming in. The Gideons used to come in with Psalms and New Testament. And I remember passing out them Psalms, the New Testament, and all them other kids taking that, throwing it in their desk and everything. And I sat there, and I had a little red pencil. My dad and mom always bought me a red color pencil, a pencil that was red. And Dad would say, every verse in the Bible, that means something to you, color it in with red or underline it with a red pencil. And I sat there while the Gideon people were up there, and then we had a little break, and I sat there and I was reading my Bible. I was reading that little New Testament, and I got to Matthew 1, 23, 27, and 18, where it says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I underlined, I colored it in. And during, right before recess, we had some time, right before recess, before we went out, and I took that little New Testament, and I was showing some of my friends and said, hey, have you ever read that? Do you know who that is? And they said, we don't want to know. Leave us alone.
Yeah.
We don't care about that.
Right.
We don't care about that. Why was I as a boy? Why did that stir me like that as a little boy? God worked on my emotions. You say, well, you're just emotional. I guess John the Baptist was too, because when he heard about Jesus being in Mary's womb, he leaped for joy in his mama's womb. He leaped. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I guess that means leaping means you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yoo-hoo! Anyway, you think that it stirred his emotions? Hello? I'm asking you, listen. You need your soul reestablished. You need to get your emotions back in their right order. Paul preached to them about their soul. Confirming the soul, strengthening that inner man that was in them.
Amen.
You know where your biggest battle is in life? Is in your mind. That's another word that's translated many times in the English Bible. The word mind, many times it's the word psuche. Psuche. The word for soul, the word for heart is the same word for mind. Where your thinking is. Listen, you need your thinking fixed most of the time.
Yes, sir.
You get your thinking all messed up.
Oh,
I want to ask you, is this thing really real that I'm preaching about tonight?
Yes.
God breathed into the breath of Adam the breath of life, and it says this, man became a living soul. God made man an emotional being. That's why I believe he called him woman after he made her. After he woke up and saw her, he went, whoa! And God said, whoa, man, whoa, wait a minute. Settle down now. He got stirred up. He got erupted down in his soul, amen? Nowadays, it would be a man with another man. But anyway,
Lord,
be Adam and Steve instead of Adam and Eve. Yeah. Can I find somewhere to throw up? But, you know what? The soul of man. God made you a living soul, Brother Doug. Just can't make you a soul with emotions, with a will, with intellect, with a mind.
Yeah.
You get your mind messed up, and you'll get weak.
Right.
You start thinking there ain't no hope for me. Woe is me. I'm Pliny. I remember in the cartoon, you can't make it. It is so bad. It is just so awful. Little skinny little arms about that big round cartoon. And it was all John's face. It was just, oh, what a terrible cartoon and spot in that cartoon. But I've had some people around that like me.
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
There ain't no sense in trying to pastor or preach no more. It's just nobody gonna listen.
Oh, my soul, get that out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? I mean, Lord, help us. A man of God, that's a man of God, cares about how your soul is affected.
Right.
Confirming the souls of the disciples, those that followed truth. is to say, and exhorting them. Is that what's next? Think, and exhorting them, yes. And exhorting them to continue in the faith. Exhorting means, it means to call near and to invite and invoke and beg and beseech and comfort and entreat. To entreat means, so to speak, to put a fire under your feet. Exhorting them. Exhorting them. You know what the Bible says? Be not like the other people that don't go to church like they should. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a man or some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting, begging people to come on, get in close. Come on into the things of God as close as you can get. If you feel like you're far off, get as close as you can get.
Right.
Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you.
Right.
There's a whole lot of other verses about exhorting. In Hebrews chapter 3 talks about exhorting. Exhorting the people and drawing them into the truth of the things of God. There's all kinds of things out there. I'm talking all kinds of things out there that'll draw you away. You know what the purpose is for this night then and this meeting, I think, too? The whole meeting, whole thing's been this way. When the prodigal son came running to meet his father, the father ran to meet him.
Yeah.
He saw him coming, he ran to meet him. That exhorts me that if you just make a way toward God, God will run toward you.
Amen. Right.
Exhorting them. And exhorting them to do what? Continue in the faith. This word for faith means the whole body of revealed truth. It's not just a believing in the mind.
Yeah.
Right? What'd you say? Continuing what God said. It's not just believing in your mind because you saw it with these eyes.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It goes deeper than that. Real faith is somehow, it lives in you.
Amen.
Continue in the faith.
Yeah.
In that whole body of revealed truth.
That's it.
In fact, this word for faith has to do with living in the things of God. That's what it has to do with. Joe, I'm going to ask you a personal question. You ever read the Bible all the way through? I'm going to exhort you then.
Yep.
Do it. He'll help you.
Yep.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to read it all, does he?
Yep.
I think you need to.
Yes. Amen.
Say,
amen.
Have you ever read Matthew all the way through?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you ever read Mark all the way through?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Luke, John,
yes,
Acts. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you read the whole New Testament through then?
Yes.
All right, then go back. Have you read Genesis through?
Yes.
You have. Mm-hmm. What ones haven't you read yet?
Probably after Genesis.
Probably after Genesis.
Read the rest of the Old
Testament. And read the rest of it.
Yes, sir.
You're telling him what to do. I'm exhorting him.
All right.
I'm going to say, stay, listen, get in that whole body of revealed truth and see if God don't speak to you.
Right.
Yeah. Here's how I know God will speak to you. Here's why I know he will out of that book. Because you done heard so much preaching. When you get in there and you start reading it, you'll say, well, wow, I thought the preacher was just kind of talking a story.
It's happened before.
And he was quoting scripture. He was quoting something out of the Bible.
Amen.
I thought that was just his personal opinion.
Right.
Amen. What if I asked you individually, have you ever read about Bible all the way through? What should I do if I haven't? Just what I told him.
Yes.
Say, why? I'm exhorting you. I'm exhorting you to get in the faith.
Right.
Get in it.
Good.
I'd even ask you this. How many meals have you missed this week? I watch y'all. You don't miss no meals. I'm not being ugly. I didn't miss very many meals when I was your age either. Still don't. At my age. That right there is a big old dinner plate, what that is.
Right.
You get up to that, you pull up to the supper table. Don't miss that any more than you'd miss. You know what Job said? I've esteemed thy words more than my necessary food.
That's right.
I'm going to exhort you.
Yeah, amen.
Say, well, reading the Bible is not continuing in the faith. Oh, yes, it is. Jesus had searched the Scriptures.
Jesus said
that in John 5:39. In Isaiah 24, I think it's verse 16, it says, seek ye the book of God and read. You better watch this crowd. It says you don't have to read the Bible. It's not important. You better watch. God didn't say that.
No, sir. You're right, preacher.
You need to continue. You need to be reestablished. You need to carry on. You need to stay. Listen, the word continue means to stay in the same place and don't vary. It means persevere.
That's right. Yep.
Say, but I'm not saved. Well, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Sounds to me like you're supposed to stay diligent until you get saved, and then after you get saved, you stay diligent being saved.
Right. Amen.
All right. Well, I'm trying to encourage you.
Good.
Now, I'm going to try to close. I'm going to try to in this way. Go with me to Acts 26. Well, how am I going to continue? If I'm going to continue, how in the world am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to show you what a verse of Scripture says. I don't know what else. Acts chapter number 26. Look with me in verse number 22.
Yeah.
Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Hey, you want to know how to continue? Here's what he said. He said, having obtained help of God.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Let me tell you this. If you're having a hard time, what do? Preacher, say, help, God. Help. I need help.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. That's it. Right, preacher.
Help. I continued by God helping me.
Let me give you
another verse. Go to Romans 11 with me. Go to Romans 11. I'm trying to close her down now. Trying to get close to it. Getting close to 9. Romans 11. I'm not a clock-eyed Baptist. I'm just looking a little bit. Verse 22 of Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if
Amen.
Thou continue in his goodness.
Yep.
Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Listen to me. This is a warning to continue. Don't quit or you'll be cut off.
That's right. Right, preacher, that's it.
Amen.
That's a verse of warning.
That's right. That's good.
Give you another verse. Go to Colossians chapter 1.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 1. I'm just trying to help you with something right now.
Amen.
Just trying to help you. I don't even think I'll help you any better than what the Bible says about it.
Right.
In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled,
yep.
Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven,
yep.
Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Why is Paul preaching about them to continue? He has the right to. He continues.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what these verses are saying. Well, that means if I don't continue, then I can lose my salvation.
No.
Listen to me. If you continue means you have the perseverance of the saints.
Amen.
Yep. You want to know what the perseverance of the saints is? Continuing. So, but I'm not a saint. You want to be?
Continue.
You better not quit.
That's it. That's
right. I'm here to exhort you.
Yep.
That's what I came for tonight.
That's right.
That's what the Lord spoke to my heart about. I said, just tell them about that preacher that wouldn't quit, and tell them what he told those people. Tell them what he told them.
Right.
I told you what he told them on last night. I'm telling you what he said again tonight.
Amen.
So why don't you just preach Christ? That'll help us.
That's
what this is.
That's right.
This is preaching Christ.
Amen.
Because Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 8. Mm-hmm. If ye continue in my word,
that's right.
Then are you my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth. The truth makes free.
That's
listen,
right.
Now listen. You say, well, I hear that all the time.
Yeah,
well, good. Well, I'm exhorting you again.
I'm doing it again.
Well, I gave you some other verses tonight, didn't I?
Uh-huh. Right.
You continue by God being your helper. If you don't continue, you'll be cut off. Severity.
Yeah. There it is. Yes, sir.
Listen, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah, right.
Well, see, should I go to that last one? Yeah, I think I will.
Yeah.
Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I said the last one. That is the last reason to continue. I got two places to take you. But this is the last reason you are to continue. And here's one of the reasons I'm supposed to continue. Look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and who? 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 Them that hear thee. You know why I'm supposed to continue? Because it'll save you.
Amen. Yeah.
One last verse. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 24. Now if this ain't going to help you, I don't know how to help you. But I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. It's my last one. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning.
Yep.
If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you,
right,
ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. How am I going to continue in the Son and in the Father? If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you.
Right.
That's pretty clear, ain't it?
Right. Amen.
If what you heard from the beginning will remain in you,
that's it.
You will persevere.
That's right. That's right.
If you just drift needlessly by it, don't take heed what you've heard.
That's right.
Anytime, less than any time, you should let them slip.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Hebrews 2 talks about it.
Yep.
Don't neglect so great a salvation. Continue.
Yeah.
That was Paul's exhortation.
That's right.
I believe it was the one that the Lord wanted me to give you tonight.
Amen.
I feel like I've
good.